Today's broadcast is brought to you by Savad Business Solutions. Their passion is in the process. Now, let's get to it. Technology is changing the world, as are the innovators and the entrepreneurs making it happen. Go behind the velvet rope, see how these people think, and understand the mindset of today's game changers. Welcome to The Incubator.
Good morning and welcome back to The Incubator. I am your host, Todd Schnick, joined by a good friend of mine, someone I've had the pleasure of chatting with several times in the past. Always good to chat with her, always get inspired by her, and always admire all the interesting things that she's up to. Welcome back to the show, Jade Simmons. She is a concert pianist, an emergence expert with Jade Media. Jade, good to chat to you again.
Thank you so much for having me back, Todd.
Always good to talk to you, my friend. It's been too long since we last chatted. I'm glad we got a chance to get back on the air. Always some cool things that you're up to. Inform the audience a little bit about you and your background and what you're up to.
Sure. I am a classical concert pianist, so I get to travel the world and play some amazing music. But I've had to carve out a pretty diversified career in an industry that's pretty much oversaturated with tons of talented musicians. So over the years, I've begun to be called on to help accelerate people into action, people with entrepreneurial ambition, and I help them create dynamic personal brands that have viability in the marketplace.
Well, we're going to talk about this new course of yours called the New School of Emergence. But
yeah.
Before I do that, you do have a very diverse career, very interesting career. Mm-hmm. And when I think the traditional person out there is thinking about a concert pianist, right?
Yeah.
I think they're thinking something very, very traditional, and very small slice of the population is probably into that kind of music. But you have a whole different approach to it. And if you listen to your music and your style, it's anything but traditional. I mean, so talk about how you actually have done that and why you've done that.
Well, you know, when I got out of school, I really didn't want to do anything except play, traditional classical music 24 hours a day. I thought I'd be in ball gowns, you know, every night of the week playing in only the most renowned stages with best orchestras. And I have done a lot of that, play a lot of Chopin and Bach and Beethoven. And then eventually I started feeling like I was only playing to prove myself. I wasn't really being all of myself. So over time, I started telling stories in my concerts about the music and about how I related to the music. And then that evolved into me being even more experimental about the type of music that I played. So now I play concerts that span everything from Rachmaninoff all the way to electronics, all the way to rap, believe it or not. And so what's happened is as I've diversified my concert experience, my audiences have become incredibly diverse, both in age and culturally and ethnicity. So it's been a really wonderful study of how to bring in new audiences. And not just the study, but we can see it in practice in what I've been doing. So it's been an exciting career to have.
Well, you know, when you think of a book author, right? There are, in today's age, the book author has to be entrepreneurial, right? It's not just about the writing anymore. You have to think of it as a business, right? You have to be entrepreneurial about it. Mm-hmm. And that sounds like that's kind of the approach you're taking is, yes, you are an artist, but you have to reach and communicate and engage with that increasingly diverse community of yours. You have to be thinking very entrepreneurial. And so, you know, when you call yourself an emergence expert, what do you mean by emergence?
Well, you know, when you're in the world of classical music especially, there's a label that young, promising artists get, and we're called emerging artists. That means we've been tapped as being, you know, really unique, really special, really talented, and that in a few years we're going to be one of the big stars. But what happens is these artists come out of school and they get this label of rising star or emerging artist, and then they kind of disappear after a year or two because no manager, no agent, and the artists themselves have not thought about a plan of action for actually emerging to a new level. So I created a platform called Emerge Already, which means enough with this emerging artist, but let's get to the next level. And over the years, I've been able to help other artists, and most recently, people with entrepreneurial ambition. So in the creative field, one of my kind of star consulting clients is an amazing interior stylist named Ariane Belazaire. And she has a platform called Inspired to Style. And so we've been able to help her kind of package that and make sure her voice and her messaging is clear And in just a few short months, she's now the number one watched video network on the Design Network. And it looks like she's going to hopefully be having her own show very soon. So it's exciting to help people learn how to tell their stories effectively and help them reach larger audiences. And what I think is most important, help them fulfill their purpose and provide solutions for demographics that are waiting on them.
Got it. All right. So I understand the idea of emergence now in the context of which you talk about it. And it's not just an emerging artist, right? I mean, it's anybody within any endeavor at some point is tagged with this idea, oh, this company's got potential. This new product has real potential. It has the chance to become an emerging artist in its own right. And so I think that's what this course of yours is all about. So give us the high-level view of the School of Emergence.
So the School of Emergence is, we have our first course coming up October 6, and it'll go through November 24th. That's only 8 weeks. I'm a bit of an impatient person, and I wanted to cater to people who like to have things be quick started and who like to see results quickly. So in that course, we take you from having what can be a wonderfully creative inkling of an idea all the way to a packaged product that is both purposeful and profitable. And I've designed the course with three demographics in mind. Of course, artists should take the course because I'm an artist and a lot of the model is based off of how I've had to do things uncommonly. But the people, for the most part, who are signing up are those, again, entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs in the making. So these are people who, they may work a day job, but they have this creative idea, project, book they've been sitting on, and they need that push to kind of really bring it into reality. And then that third group are established or newly established entrepreneurs who want to maybe refocus a product that they've recently launched or they're just about to launch. Maybe they haven't gained traction. And so we look at making sure they're targeting the right, what I call the ideal audience versus your almost audience. So we help focus new projects that have just recently been launched. And I like it to be short so that you can go full out, full time. And it's just long enough to give you the really fundamental tools to really get something packaged and positioned effectively. And I like to say what makes the course very different is that each week there's a launchable item. So every week out of the 8 weeks, starting from week one, bits and pieces of that creative baby will begin to exist in reality. That's what makes us very different from most coaching and online course programs.
So you made it very clear there, Jay, but I just want to reiterate and be sure the audience is really clear on this. This is not just for artists. And in that context to how I said it, I'm talking, it's not for pianists. It's not for dancers. It's not for painters. I mean, this is for any entrepreneurial adventure and aspiration. And that's where I want to go next with our conversation is I worry that most people think of an artist as someone such as yourself, right? They think of someone who creates a painting or sculpting or they're a ballet dancer or whatever. When I look at each and every one of us, each and every one of us, anybody listening to this show, I consider you an artist because you have a skill, you have a talent, you have something that you're contributing to the world that in its own right is artistic. And so
you're hitting it right on the head.
We're all creatives, right?
I truly believe that, and I think that the concept and the idea of creativity has kind of been hijacked by the arts world, and people relinquish the thought that they are inherently creative. And to me, to be creative means that you create anything. So any project or idea, book idea, we're taking people who've been keeping journals for years. We're helping them find the theme in those journals to turn them into killer book proposals. There are people who, again, have been working day jobs in really successful ways, but have become kind of specialists within that day job and now want to take that out. There's one woman who's in human resources, and she wants to become a speaker who focuses on a very specific demographic in the human resources industry. So she's going to be coming out of, you know, years of experience working in the corporate world and then taking that, specializing, developing her own personal brand, and helping a very specific demographic. You talked about putting something out into the world. To me, that comes even before profit. Because if you're following your purpose, and purpose is always attached to doing for others, it's always going to provide a service or a solution, then you already start knowing that what you have to offer is wanted. And so then my job is to help you find out who wants it, how to talk to them, and how to position your project or your idea to get to that ideal audience. It's funny you mentioned that it's not just for pianists and ballet dancers. I realized about 2 years ago that my ideal audience, the ones who are the most interested in these types of products and services that I offer, are not artists, believe it or not. They are not necessarily tuned to hear what I have to say because we've been trained to only think about the art and not about the business. But people who have existed in the workplace, so to speak, really relate to what I have to say because they understand the process from the ground up. So it's a much more natural progression for them to, I guess, act on their entrepreneurial ambitions.
All right. Jade Simmons will return after this short break. We'll be right back.
Wondering if technology can help you run your business better? To help you better manage your data? To make more informed, more strategic, and faster business decisions? Say hello to Savad Business Solutions. We don't rest until we identify and put into place customized solutions to remove the bottlenecks from your organization, making you better, faster, and more effective. Learn more at SavadSolutions.com. That's SIVAD Solutions.com.
All right, we're back with Jade Simmons, concert pianist and emergence expert. You know, Jade, I hate to ask this question, but it's an important question that while I worry that most people aren't willing to necessarily admit this, but I think there's a lot of people that still don't fully understand what their purpose is.
Oh, God, yeah.
Can you, they just go into the routine of a 9-to-5 job and they don't see what they do as creative or artistic. And they're on that path to when they retire, they're going to say, where the heck did my life go? Do you have any advice on how someone can begin to really look inside deeply and figure out what their purpose is?
I do. You know, I feel like part of my purpose is helping people find out what their purpose, what their calling is. Matter of fact, I'm doing a live teleseminar coming up at the end of September, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, where I'm talking about creativity, calling, and confidence. And I think, again, that people have relinquished their right to be creative. And when you find that creativity and when you really tap into your calling, it gives you this, man, almost a supernatural confidence. So when you talk about finding that purpose, I think you can look back over your life and you'll start to see some recurring patterns. A wonderful business mentor of mine named Marshawn Evans came up with this kind of a wonderful formula to kind of find your purpose. And she said, you need to first find kind of this action verb. You know, my purpose is to, maybe it's empower, impact, inspire. You find that verb and you put it in there, and then you find out what the demographic is. So in my case, my purpose is to accelerate people with entrepreneurial ambition into action and becoming the biggest version of themselves possible. So like you said, I meet people who I instantly see all this potential, all this creative potential, and they usually see themselves much smaller than I see them. So then my job is to accelerate them into becoming bigger, or really the bigger version that they were supposed to be. And I think most of us will find and suss out our calling when we look back and see what we've always been good at, what people have complimented us on and we've probably taken for granted. And I always call there's kind of a silent skill that we usually have, which is the effect that we've had on people who've been around us. What do people say when we leave the room about how we affected them? And usually our purpose is found in those sorts of details.
Jade, I've asked that question of a lot of people over the years, some variation on that. What's your true calling? How do you find it? What's your true purpose? And I love that formula that you came up with and finding that action verb. That changes everything in terms of your perspective on that important question. So thank you for sharing.
Well, and you find that verb and then you think very specifically about who it is you want to do that action to. And a lot of us lead with thinking our purpose is our talent. So I'd be wrong to say my purpose is to play the piano. I'd be more right to say that my purpose is to do something to people, and that thing that I do to them or inspire in them or accelerate in them causes them to feel what, insert whatever that feeling or experience is, and I do that through the piano or speaking or writing. So if we put our talent or whatever that skill or ability is at the end of the sentence and focus more on what it is we cause to happen in people, that gets us closer.
Yeah. Well, and the other key point that you talked about there was the idea of having a mentor or certainly a coach. Most of us most of us do think of ourselves smaller than we really are. Mm-hmm. We need that fresh pair of eyes to look at us and say, boy, there is potential there. And that's so critical. And a lot of people don't seek out that mentorship or that coaching.
Huge.
I mean, it's almost sad that how little that happens.
I'm thinking now it's a responsibility. You know, I'm actually on my way to Atlanta in just a few hours. I was hoping I could have gotten on your busy schedule to do this in person. But I'm on my way to Atlanta for a business retreat, a mastermind. And it's a big investment for me. But I said, you know, if I want my business to continue to grow, don't I have to learn from people who know even more than I do? And if I'm responsible for teaching people what I already know, eventually they're going to know that and want to know more from me. So I have to have more to offer. And I think that we have to continually reinvest in ourselves and in our brands and in our business so that we can continue to sow into the people who are turning to us, you know, to grow and to be better.
Yep. You know, when I think of entrepreneurs, Jade, I think of there's two camps. There are mm-hmm. the entrepreneurs who have taken the step forward and have started and are now doing it and they're doing their mm-hmm. thing. And that comes with pluses and minuses, obviously. But then there's the wannabe entrepreneurs, the person sitting in their cube, frustrated by their 9-to-5 job, saying, boy, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to do that. What mm-hmm. are the top issues facing wannabe entrepreneurs and how do they break through?
Okay. Top issues are fear, fear, and fear. So the fear of failing, of course. And most of us who have these desires are also perfectionists, and we end up in kind of this analysis paralysis. Well, what if this happens? What if I fail? And we worry about being able to bounce back from that failure. And then we worry about the fear of success. Well, what if it takes off? How in the world am I going to maintain that? Or I'm a mother of two and a wife. How am I going to maintain my balance in my life? And then we also fear that what we're wanting is ridiculously delusional and too big. And I just happen to believe that, I mean, dreams are created to be big. If we're dreaming small, then there's something wrong with the way that we're dreaming. And I do believe, you know, from a faith-based standpoint, that we're created to have these big desires. And if they don't go away, it's because we're supposed to pursue them because people are literally waiting on them. I think we have to start to really believe that we are crucial and urgent. And then, and that creates a sense of urgency that spurs us into action. But if we can get over the fear that what we're wanting is not too big for us, that'll help in the beginning.
Yeah, I agree with all three of those top issues. You know, when I think about you and your career, Jade, it's very untraditional. It's very diverse. You do a lot of different things. And I believe that's the way that careers should be now. I mean, my career is very similar. I do a lot of different things as well. I still think there's an awful lot of people trapped into believing that they have one path to be on. And I wonder if you could talk about the process of how you should be looking at your career mm-hmm. and understanding that it's not just one way. And it's not just necessarily with one organization for 20, 30, 40 years. We're more in a project-based economy now than a career, you know? And so you obviously symbolize a successful person navigating that kind of a career. What's some advice and thoughts you can share mm-hmm. to help someone understand that that's a cool way to do it. And actually it's a terribly liberating way to do it.
Okay. I'm going to talk in terms of two concepts, the concept of reinvention and then the concept of being multifaceted. I think that multifaceted people sometimes feel cursed because we have so many talents and skills and abilities, we don't know which way to pursue them. And so to the outside world and to ourselves, we can seem scattered or that we lack focus. And the truth is, if you tap into the purpose we were talking about, that's where your one path comes from. And then it frees you up to do anything and everything that you can put on that path. So I had a manager who said to me, well, are you a pianist, a writer, a speaker, a fashion plate, a video personality? And I just said, yeah. What's wrong with that? And I realized I shouldn't be with them anymore because they didn't know how to market that multifacetedness. It felt to them like I was all over the place. And so what I had to learn how to do was, how do I focus the energy to go in one direction, but allows me to use my multiple tool set? So being multifaceted is an amazing gift, especially when you know how to focus it. So you can be in that company for 30 years, but you must be reinventing yourself within the company for 30 years. The human race is designed to seek out elevation. I mean, you talk about survival instinct. It's very abnormal to stay at status quo. It's not normal. Now, it's good to find stability and steadiness, But we should always be looking for a way to elevate, even if that doesn't mean to move up to a new position. How do I change within the position I'm in? If I'm going to stay at a company for all of these years, how do I make a difference that's an uncommon one? I think we're created to be uncommon. How do I continually make sure that I'm contributing in an uncommon fashion? So I think my career has been an example of reinventing. When I came out of school, I was pretty much simply a classical pianist, and I loved it for a season. And I think we will and we should live our lives in seasons. I just came off of baby hiatus. I had my second child, and this was a season of rest, and it was a season of reflection, so that when I came back to business, it would have been weird to go back to doing things how I had already been doing them. So I think we should continually be looking for a way to evolve.
Yeah. Well, when I see someone who feels trapped or stalled in a career or in their life, then it is simply, frankly, that they have not adopted a mindset of constant reinvention. I mean, that is so critical. Yeah. As you said, even if you're under roof and with the same organization for 30 mm-hmm. years, you still need to be doing that. All right. Well, Jade, I hate to say it, breaks my heart, but we are running low on time. Before
okay.
I let you go, how can people connect to the world of Jade, their hands on your music, on your writings, and most importantly, where can I get information on this new course?
Sure. The course starts October 6th, this October 6th, and you'll be done and emerged by November 24th. If you go to jademedia.org, you'll find more information about the course and all of my other endeavors. And I'm just excited to have ambitious entrepreneurs who are finally ready to launch or ready to relaunch and make sure that they gain the traction they were hoping for initially.
All right. What we may have to do is when that course ends, get you back on the show and let's tell some cool stories of some amazing people that came through that and the transformations.
Of course.
I think that would be a really interesting conversation. All right. Well, Jade,
yeah.
Again, as always, a real pleasure to spend time with you. Thanks for giving me the time.
Thank you so much, Todd.
All right. Well, that wraps this episode. On behalf of my guest, Jade Simmons, I'm Todd Schnick. We'll see you soon in The Incubator.